Blog Talk Radio.
Breaking out, the presence is among us now, the spirit of the Lord is here, spirit of the Lord.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Place. Welcome to the first Your Place show of 2024. Did the opening song stir something inside of you? Can you take a moment and shout hallelujah? Come on and say it with me from your heart. Hallelujah. Jesus is worthy of our praise in 2024. I don't know about you, but the last few years have seemed like there's been a lot of darkness in the world. There seems to have been more evil being called good and more fear of things and people in power. We've witnessed COVID and the effects of this disease has had on our nation. Gone are the days of being able to go to Walmart any hour of the night and get something that you have a hankering for. Nobody can explain why restaurants, manufacturing of some products, and many businesses are suffering and closing down due to a lack of help. In a day where we can witness almost as they are happening, why are we not hearing real experts telling us what's really going on? We only hear what people in power want us to hear. But is this God's plan? The war in Israel is even being slanted in the news. There is a roaring voice in the media speaking against the people of Israel for defending themselves. It is now 2024, right? What happened to how we used to say it? The year of our Lord, 2024. Did you know all of the years were the year of our Lord? If you did not like your president, it's still God that sits leaders on the throne and takes them down. Think of how we process and think about things. Ready to think outside the box with Wild Bill? God still inhabits the praise of his people. Let's share two more songs to start our show tonight. But before we start tearing into our foundation, to our thinking, as always, all you have to do is push the number one on your phone and share your thoughts or ask questions on tonight's show topic of our thought process. And now let's have a listen.
Come on, put your hands together like this.
Just his mind. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God.
Oh, I can't stop dreaming. Oh, 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 oh. praise the Lord, everybody. Don't that song just, whoo, want to put a fire in your praise, make you think about all the things you need to be thankful for that God has done for us? I tell you what, I have had an interesting day today, and this is really not a sermon. I'm not going to really preach or teach anything. I'm just going to share some thoughts. I hear people talk about how they process things, and I hear people judging some people, and I hear people judging other pastors for what they do in their church, and then this pastor's stuck in a place where he's trying to respond to his people and the why and the how and the what's of the things that they do in their church, and you see all the things that's going on in the world, and you see the news, how negative things are. You see all the earthquakes, changes in weather. You see all the storms and damages and things and wildfires, and you're like, enough. I can't anymore. And I was looking at Psalms this morning, and I was noticing something about David, that when he was on the mountaintop and everything was going great, he sang praises to God. And when things were going awful and his son had been killed and there's family feud going on and he's disobeyed God, he still sang praises unto God. I've always tried to figure, and I've heard so many people make guesses as to what it was about David that made him a man after God's own heart. I've heard people say it's because of his passion for life and how he did everything right or wrong. He just had a passion that drove him in all things. Others said it was how he owned up to his mistakes, but yet we see that until he was confronted head on with some of his mistakes, that even in his mind he saw what he did is not wrong until the picture was kind of shifted a little bit. The focus was put more in play as to what it was that he had done, to the point that David said, what do you think we should do about it? The prophet said, what do we do about this? Well, that person should be killed. Well, that person's you, David. And, of course, he didn't kill himself, but you can tell by the way the writer has placed everything there that he was in total disbelief and shock as to what it was that he did. And I'm sure at that point it was total disbelief and shock that he did the thing that he did. But yet with all that praise, an understanding of the importance of praise to the Almighty God was one of those things that never left him, to the point that he went out and danced before the Ark of the Covenant so hard with all his might and all his strength that his robe came off. Now, some people say that he just laid apart the robe that made him king, and we've heard all these things. But I can just see him doing a buck dance so hard and just worshiping so hard that he didn't care when he felt that thing start to slip off. He wasn't going to stop what he was going to do. He was going to continue to praise and worship his God with his all. You've heard me guys say this before about, you know, what is the definition of hallelujah? And everybody says, well, it's the highest praise. Well, yeah, that's a broad definition, but what is the highest? And we sort of mentioned that last week, that when it comes to the things of God, we can't just say, well, I'm doing my best. God says, I want you to give your all. And there's a big difference in the two, because I can give my best of one portion of my life and leave the rest of my life totally out of it. I can do my best to be where I give more financially to the church and to God than anybody else or any other aspect of my life. But my prayer life and my love life and my connection to God, those things can fall short. And so we have to understand, when you say hallelujah, you're basically testifying, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving it all unto you. All that I am. And when you sit there and you think about that for a minute, then you get the whole thought process of how do I process what's right? How do I process what's wrong? What are the foundational aspects of my thought process that I go through in deciding the things that are of God and how I look at them? Now, with all that being said, and with things to be happy for and praise God for, I've got to say that I want to praise God and thank him for my mom, Sister Bobby Lively, also known as Blog Top Mom, Rapping Granny, and Lyrical Lively. And she could have many more names than that and has wore a lot of hats in her life. But tomorrow she turns 84 years old, and I want to acknowledge that we are so thankful for her and all that she's done, the life that she's lived. and let her know that we really appreciate her on this show. We really appreciate what she adds to the show. We appreciate the foundational things that she planted in my life when I was just a boy, that thing for the love, for the word of God that was there. And I owe that to her. She was the one that sat down, and when they would have contests, made me memorize scriptures. And when I was still in what they would call, I guess, the primary Sunday school class, they had a service thing for young marrieds. It was called Christ Ambassadors. It may have been unmarrieds, but this was more people that were 18 and above, and they would have contests and things. And Blog Talk Mom made sure that I was able to plug into that because I had such a love for the things of God, and to the aggravation of some of the other young adults, when they had games and stuff that they were playing where they had to memorize scriptures and give answers and things, I was right in there raising my hand and giving answers with them. And being a child, sometimes I knew the answer, but I would say the wrong thing. And a lot of times I would get it right and could point out the adults when they were wrong, which I'm sure is just as aggravating for an annoying person to be sitting there and shouting out and laughing at them. No, it's not that. It's this. You know, but I have to give thanks to her and thank her for all those things that she's done in my life. She's always, when I was at home, made sure that there was an avenue there for me to be plugged into the things of God. And you can't put a price on that. You can't, you know, really put into words or into a monetary value just what that means. So, Blog Talk Mom, we love you. And we just want to say in advance before tomorrow, happy, happy birthday. Okay, so we get past that. We've been talking about praise. I was thinking today as I was going through all this, as I said, about foundational thought process. And we all have our own way to process things. Some use emotion more than facts. Some slant their thoughts into their making them right, and everybody else they disagree with is wrong. Some use their thought process to justify their actions or lack of actions. Some use their own thought process to attack their own self-esteem. Think about that for a minute. Sometimes our own way of thinking tears us down as a person, and it can tear us down in who we are spiritually and how we identify ourselves with God. We can sit there and say, well, everybody's talking about me with a preacher, what he was saying today. He was saying that just to me. You know, I saw Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so talking, and they looked at me, and I know they were making fun of me. I know that they were judging me for something. And sometimes we do that. We come into a church, and we get together with some of the other people that are there, and I don't know why we do it, but we say, did you see what Sister So-and-so was wearing? Can you believe that she wore that to church? Now, I'm going to say something real quick on this, and you guys just take it for what it's worth. This may not apply to any of y'all, but I can tell you that many times in my life, this applies to me. So I'm going to share it with you. And if nothing else, maybe you run across another person like me, then maybe you can have some knowledge and wisdom to help them out. Because I know most of you are much further in your walk with God than where I am. And you don't do these things. You don't have this thing of wanting to have this judgment that goes along with how we walk our walk with God. One of the things I've learned about this process when we set up foundational things, that we add our thinking to that foundation. We have a foundational thought process. From that, we take anything that comes in external that we want to add to who we are as knowledge or wisdom or experience. We want to add those things there. But I can tell you that when our foundations get a crack in them or they fail, they can shake and challenge our way of looking at everything. If we set up our foundation on things that we shouldn't be setting up our foundation on, it will start to sink and it will develop cracks and it will fail. We talk many times about the facts, and perceived facts are not always the same things. And we're not always reliable and really the same thing. Our perception of things is just that. It's our perception. It's just like the difference in the Word of God, which has power, and God is watching over it to perform it in the lives of his people, And then we can have our thought process or opinions or our own definitions of things to the Word of God that doesn't stay in context to what the Word of God is really trying to say. And we do this all the time. You know, we can take our perceived facts and we can try to build on top of that. And then we're just all surprised when something happens to knock down that foundation and we see that we're not what we think we are and we're not who we think we are and we're not in the relationship in the way that God wants us to be and we're not actually doing or living a life that is pleasing to God 100%. We use facts, emotions, peer groups, parents, school, and even the church can impact the things that we take to make our foundational truth, but not always in a positive manner, but as people of faith. Because see, if we just do it in our own thinking and we don't have faith involved in it, then it's so easy to just totally miss what the Word of God is saying. Should we not show as the top priority of establishing our foundational thoughts beyond all the things I've stated above? Instead, establish foundation to the Word of God, faith in things not seen, but God promised. See, we want to see things and we say, oh, I've seen this, I understand it now. But it's based on that one vision from that one direction, that one thought. And if we're not careful, we totally lose faith that God can do more, that he can expand it bigger, that he can have more power, that there could be an answer that's beyond the answer that we think we see. And if we get locked in on that one focal point, we can miss the big picture of what it is that God has for us. And I'm saying this once again because I have done these things in my life. I have established foundational things based on, I've done it with standards that were taught in church. I've done it with foundational things as far as, you know, things on trusting God, things on holidays and holy days and things having to do with perceptions of man. Or not, that's not really a good thing, perceptions of man, because a ministry has a field that it's in charge of. It has a ministry field that it's accountable for. It has a ministry field that it has to be the one that works and has to trust God for the increase. And I believe with all my heart that God knows the plants that's going to come up, the people that's going to come up in that field. And so God says, for this people, you're going to have to be really strict. You're going to have some guidelines here that you put in place that's going to be seem extreme to some other people. But this people here, they need that. They need the things like of the law. Just like the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they had a slave mentality. They had been slaves for years. And so they get their freedom. And God makes a way where there is no way. And they go across the Red Sea on dry land. And the water comes down and kills their enemies. And they were given all the wealth of Egypt to go as they traveled across here. And then what did they do? They murmured and complained every time something came up that made them a little bit uncomfortable. They forgot all the beatings that they took and how they were forced into forced labor to do the work for the Egyptians and how that they were fed what they were allowed to eat and they slept when they were allowed to sleep. And they were able to do only what their masters allowed them to do. And here, all of a sudden, they don't have this wall of rules that's dictating what they have to do every step of the way. And to just put it bluntly, they lose their minds. They sit there and they see all the things that God's doing, and they doubt, and they murmur, and they complain time and time again. And as they go through the process of going through the wilderness, and they get to where the promised land is just on the other side. They made it to the point to where they're going to cross over to the other side. And what happens? They're sitting there and they say, let's send 4 spies to go over there. And you all know the story. They sent 12 spies, sent one from each tribe. And when they came back, and a lot of people totally miss this, but every one of them was saying, oh, there's giants in the land. Oh, yeah, there took 2 of us to carry this big bundle of grapes over here, and the land is full of milk and honey, but there's giants, and we're like grasshoppers under them. And they started spreading that mob mentality thing to all the people to where we're fixing to get stomped into mud holes over there. They're going to take us, and we just wish we were back in slavery. Why would God take us over here to this place? Why is this where he promised that we would go, even though they were told that they were going to live in cities that they did not build. They still could only see what their perceptions of the report, what it was, and God called it his evil report. And one person, Caleb, stood up and says, hey, we're well able to go and possess the land. Let's go. Let's get on over. This is my promised land, my relationship with God and things, my vision, what I see, based on the word of God and not my perception and not the things that I see, but in faith, that's my land. Those people are on my land, and I'm going to take what's mine because God said it's mine. And there was one other one there that he heard something that quickened something in his heart, something quickened something in his spirit, that when he heard those words, that all of a sudden, you know, there's two people that's sitting there saying, yeah, we can go and possess the land. That's ours. Let's go and do it. But it was Caleb was the one, even though Joshua gets the credit for it, Caleb was the first one to speak up and spoke against the ones that were there. And so because of a wrong mentality, a wrong foundational base that they tried to put everything on top of and what they experienced, and all their feelings, they've had these years now to go across, and God's trying to work things out in them to let them identify themselves as his chosen people, and they just miss it because the foundation that they built on was not the foundation of God. So as we go along and we look at the foundational things of God, and as I said, we got to have the word of God, and then we have to have faith in the things that are not seen, not the things that are seen, and then we got to base that foundation on the Holy Ghost that lives in us, understanding that our weaknesses are our strengths, because in acknowledging our weakness, we establish we need God. We have a need for God, and we need God, and we need his promises, and we need to have faith in who he said he is. We need to understand that no matter what the situation, that God has a plan for us. Each one of us, he has a plan. Only in this kind of establishment of our thought process can we remain moldable and connected to God. But speaking again for myself, I can't tell you how many times that I get so busy with church things and busy with work things and busy with family things and busy with fun things that all of a sudden my balance of my foundation is not based on faith. It's based on experience past. And if you're not careful when you try to balance things on experience past, then you're not going to get what the next step is that you're supposed to take. You're not going to have that next structural balance of strength that's added to your life to help you be what it is that God wants you to be. So when it talks about flesh, do we think that our flesh and our carnal mind is automatically dead after being born again? In looking at some things of Scripture and listening to what some people say, you want to say, well, yeah, I'm a new creature in God. Yeah, I'm not the same person I used to be. I don't have the same carnal mind that all of a sudden something jumps into it that I didn't even ask for it to be there, and something else, you know, all of a sudden I do things, I'm like, how in the world did I do that? I always like falling back into Scriptures that tells us that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And here again, when you get to looking at what these things mean about being new and renewed and redeemed, we need to understand how these things are happening and how those things all come about. How is a way? How his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are much higher than ours. And we have to go to the Bible to try to get an understanding of that. And I know I went a long way with talking about my thoughts on this, but let's go to Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the spirit of the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they are in the flesh, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when you read this and you go all the way through it, and as you're making notes and you're praying about it, there's some things that become really clear. You can be born of the water and the Spirit, which is part of the New Testament plan of salvation, but am I dead? I mean, am I a zombie? Am I walking around not alive? But I can tell you that I learned the hard way. When you get the Holy Ghost, you do not become like a remote control car, and God's got the controls, and he just moves you this way and that way of how you need to go. And you'll end up in places like I did where you run into a wall 90 miles an hour, and you're like, God, where were you? And you look, and he's still standing back there, and you're like, I never told you to go that way. I never asked you to go that way. You did this on your own. And so as you look at these things about life and death and spirit and the newness of the things, and you think about it with your with everything that you know, take a mental note of these scriptures and see if you can share your meanings of carnal, flesh, spirit, death, life. Because I do not know about you, but having been born again, I am still flesh and blood. If you cut me, I'm going to bleed. My mind, without warning or without encouragement or planning, it will all of a sudden think of something it should not think. And you think, being a child of God, this can't happen. Like I said before, this may not be anybody else but me. And if it is, you guys need to tell me when we open up the mics how it is you can do this. I've had people while I was driving a truck pass me, barely get in front of me, jerk over in front of me, and slam on their brakes to take an exit. I don't know about you guys, but the first thing that comes to my mind, I'm not saying, thank you, Jesus, for letting this person cut me off. Woo, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that, you know, I probably slammed on my brakes so hard that I damaged some of my freight. And, Lord, I just, you know, I feel blessed because you felt that I needed this test today. No, that's not what happens. Your blood pressure, you can feel it come up. You can feel the blood rush to your face. And, you know, I know myself, I'd lay on an air horn all the way up until they got completely off the exit. And I would sit there and I'd think to myself, Lord, bless them with fleas from 1,000 camels in their armpits. Now, that's not the exact thought, but that's not what I can think of letting it be said, that I wasn't actually wishing good things on those people when they do that. So when you look at Scripture and you're trying to establish the picture of what it is being said, and we look at Scriptures, how do we come up with this balance? How do we do this? What is it that we learn through this process that helps us get the big picture? The Bible told us that the carnal mind is enmity between us and God. So what is the definition of a carnal mind in Scripture? A carnal or fleshly mind refers to having a, which is a spiritual. The carnal mind is dominated by selfishness, self-will, self-focus, self-seeking. It is devoid of the ability to surrender wholeheartedly to God. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and refuses to take orders from the law of love or God's words that inspires us to be nothing higher and not to be hostile or self-centered or be in a selfish state. That, whoa, man, Okay, now you're living for God. Have you ever had times where you found yourself being unspiritual? Have you ever had your thought process be dominated by selfishness or your own self-will or self-focus, self-seeking? Am I the only one? Is there something wrong with Wild Bill and the life he's living that sometimes the things come to the surface? Or is there a bigger truth to this thing we're talking about dying and being spiritual and unspiritual and carnal that we're not looking at? And look at this in another scripture format. Let's go to Romans 7. Go down to verse 12. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Then that which is good may death unto me, God forbid, the sin that it might appear sin worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the spirit is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. This is Paul. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, for that what I do that I do I not, but what I hate that do, I do. But to do doesn't think there gets a little confusing. But basically what he's saying here, the things that he wants to do, he doesn't always do, and the things he knows he should do, he doesn't always do. But he has to understand these things are part of what it is to be a carnal living man. Then number 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then is it, and then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Let me try it again. Verse 17. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. You kind of relate to Paul here on these things, where he's trying to find the balance of it is to understand the things where we die out, but then these things keep coming back. Verse 19, for the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, see, he's saying here, I do these things, it's not me, it's the sin. Well, it's him. So he's admitting right here he's a born-again apostolic preacher. He's an apostle of God. And he's letting you know that sometimes that sin is going to creep in. Now, I know there are some people that's going to say, oh, Brother Bill, you have totally missed it right here. But that is what repentance is for. When I have that bad thought, when I think about the things, I'm planning on thinking of things that are evil or ungodly or impure, and it comes into my mind where I get angry at things are going around me, where I get flustered, where I become selfish, where I become self-centered. When those things come up, I have this great recourse that Jesus made for us when he went to that cross. That's repentance. And I said this many times, it took me a long time to learn it, and I hated it that my dad missed this and the things that he was looking at living for God. The repentance is more for the saint of God than it is for the sinner. There's a difference in going off and falling into something where sin creeps in, and then taking the things that God has given us to war against it, and so it doesn't become full-fledged, this ungodly sin, where you act on those things, and where it's just a thought or a reaction to something that comes into your life. Again, you can disagree with me on this, and I have no problem, and you got to open mic at the end of this. 21, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh lost sin. Again, I thank God for Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And you see this right here and you read this and you think, okay, this is This is saying two different things. It cannot be what it is. But when you stop and understand, we are not God. We have not achieved what it is that we're going to achieve when we get away from sin and away from this world. And when we're victorious and we're walking with Jesus in his presence at all times, when we're in the place of our victory, to where there's not going to be any more temptation, there's not going to be any more tears, there's not going to be any sorrow, there's not going to be any cancer, there's not going to be people going blind. Oh, to be with Jesus for eternity. Oh, then is going to be when we get the reward, to where this body no longer can have the effect on us that it does. Let's go back one more chapter to Romans 6. I mean, we're time's kind of getting away from me here. Romans 6 starts about the verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Be not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that should obey in it the lust thereof. Neither use ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive, from members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak of manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to the uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those days whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before I turn you guys looking at the carnal mind, we can't forget the word enmity. Enmity is a synonym of hostility, animosity. It indicates deep-seated dislike or ill will, which derives from an Anglo-French word meaning enemy, suggests true hatred, overt or concealed. The hostility implies strong, open enmity that shows itself in attacks or aggression. Animosity carries a sense of anger, vindictiveness, and sometimes the desire to destroy what one hates. It's generally less violent than animosity, but definitely conveys active prejudice or ill will. Now, I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here, and I'm trying to look at it to see where we are on the time for our show, because I don't want to... If any of you know me, I got a chance to be kind of long into it. I will, but I do have some scripture. I don't want this to be on my thinking on this. Matthew 6 and 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Down to verse 3. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. See, I had something else here. I was looking at puzzle pieces put together to try to help us come up with something to look at, the things that have to do with God. The Bible here, I don't have a chapter on it, judge not judge. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you met, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou that mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to the brother, let me pull out a mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Whew. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good thanks to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be, which because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be to find it. And this fellow talks to the false prophets, talks about how the good trees can provide good things and evil trees can provide evil things, but you can't get both good and evil, and how the evil tree will be cast down, cut down, and cast into the fire. So we've got a lot of scriptures here. I'm so much running out of time of the things that I wanted to share. I'll drop on down here to Acts 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, which are you by the Jesus of whom Paul preaches? And there were seven sons of one of Sceva, a Jew of the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Man, there could be a sermon that naked and wounded thing. You talked about the plans of God. But there was something else about here, and I'm running across. I'm trying to get to find it, to understand the scripture we're talking about. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, here we go. I was still with Acts, I think it was. I didn't have the actual, I like this, the verses. So I'm at the straight gates. Here we go. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that's where I went on down to the example with the people, the priest of Sceva, the sons that were there, to where they thought they were going to cast out a demon because they'd seen Paul doing these marvelous works and they wanted to be able to do it. And so as they were looking at this, and something that I noticed, I've always in my mind pictured this, of a person standing before God and saying, okay, Lord, I have done this and that and the other in your name. And God saying, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I know thee not. But that's not what they said. It's they said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Never noticed that before. It made me wonder, because this has been people that's going to be there at judgment, and they were in a church that taught the plan of salvation as it was taught, and there was demons being cast out and lives being changed, and when it came their time to stand before God, he's going to sit there, and they're going to say, we did all these things in our church, Lord. The people I ran around with, my friends and cohorts, this is what we did. And Jesus' response is, I don't know you. Could it be that they were in a church where all these great things were happening, but they did not have a personal relationship with the Almighty God? Because the way I looked at it before, it really didn't make a lot of sense. How could they be doing these things in his name and getting the reaction to it, and Jesus saying, I never knew you? But then if you stop and look at it where he says, we did these things, you know, like, did they have a mouse in their pocket? Is it one of those things to where they, you know, like Paul was able to cast out demons. He was able to send out scars and handkerchiefs that had been anointed with oil and prayed over, and people were healed. And he could lay hands on people, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. And these people saw these things, and they wanted to do it, but they wanted to go around the part of having a personal relationship with God. Their foundational thought process didn't have the foundation to it that it needed to have. It was based on their own perception of, well, in the name of the God of Paul, who he does these things, and Jesus, who died on the cross, and his name we do this in, that will come out. Yeah, I don't know how bad it would be to be beat and have to flee, not just beaten up, but naked from a house. But I don't think that would do much for your testimony. I think it would kind of show everyone there a lesson that God wanted us to see, and what it is to have the strong foundation of what it is that we believe, and then add to that as our growth, the foundation of other building blocks and other structures come in to strengthen that. And as we talked about, we endure to the end. This flesh is something we're going to have to endure with till the day we die. Even though we may be a new creature in Christ, we have to endure with the things of trying to establish our identity, with the things of where we self-perceive things, of being selfish, to where we don't want to call it what it is, but sometimes we have sin that has crept into our life, and God wants us to understand in that relationship, he's going to highlight it. Red alert, red alert. This is sin. And then you have a choice. Do I repent of it, turn away from it, acknowledge it like David did, and still sing a song of praise and still worship God and not get our rear end all in a tizzy and be upset with everybody because maybe they've been a part of pointing something out in our life and they've come to us in love? This whole thing of trying to get a broader picture of how to look at who we are and who we need to be is one of those things that we can't just take a superficial look at to come up with our own ideal and our own perception to the things of God. Now, I don't know how much of this you guys were able to hear. Charlie said I was cutting in and out a little bit, and I didn't know what I could do to fix that. But we're going to put Blog Talk Mom on right now and see what she has for us. Blog Talk Mom?
Well, thank you so very much for that absolutely awesome lesson. And at one point, the phone or the some connection was hindering us to, you know, follow every scripture or whatever, but we got the message for sure. And I hope, and I'm going to pray, that next week you'll do it again and, you know, add some of it, because I could tell you still have a lot of what God's given you that you'd like to share and sort of use this for a foundation. And I would love that. I deeply appreciate you and Sister Starla for the work and the effort, and you're so diligent to do this. It's late in the evening. You have so many other responsibilities, but you don't just do it as a job or a class. You do it from your heart. You do it as unto God. And this is this all passed, as I mentioned before. Our First Lady suggested that the whole church do the Book of Proverbs. And so we did a chapter every day, and then we prayed 31 minutes, and all up built around the 31 chapters. And in all the way through it, and I've read it, just like you mentioned, we we do, we really do approach the word from different, you know, with children, maybe not in age, but as we look at the word of God the first time or second or third or fourth. Now, I am 84, as you mentioned. I will be in the morning. And I have read Proverbs I don't know how many times because I love the word of God. And I got things this time I have never had before. And ultimately, the entire message to me on being wise or being foolish, being the right way or being the wrong way, the very message that God spoke to me was humility. When I would truly, by the grace of God, we can't even be humble without the grace of God. But when it would come, when I asked for it, as you mentioned so beautifully, you've got to acknowledge these things. And when you do, you acknowledge them to yourself. You acknowledge them to the Lord. The grace of God, the love of God, the power of God is applied. And then we see what we never even saw before about the sin. And I'm just so excited. And I was told, I want to use a little personal thing here. You know, at 84, y'all all know that I'm a very moral old lady. But anyway, I was told that I'm a flirt. And I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, really, everybody can see how ugly I am. But anyway, so I just thought it was funny that anybody would even think that. I really did. But I didn't more than upset at them. I thought, whatever. And then after I studied this and I was praying about it, someone had said something and the Lord brought it back to me. That because my heart was pure, because my intentions were absolutely fine, I wasn't following the humility of being absolutely obedient to the Spirit of God that dwells within me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that is not to be contaminated with, as you brought out so beautifully, the flesh. And so even though I and before the Lord, I had no intention. But other people were seeing it as flirt. So whether I had an intention or not, I was not being humble to the word of God. I was not exalting the humility that comes to us from God when they've got him on a cross beating ways that we can't even imagine that he went through. He said, forgive them. Just forgive them. They don't even know. Well, you know, I got something out of that, too. They don't know that by what they're doing to me, they're running every devil out of hell so that they're going to go back to hell forever. I don't know if I said that correctly. But anyway, thank you. And I will hush. We did have Casey, if she was still here, I would love for her to say something, maybe Brother Bill and different ones, and I'll be quiet.
Well, nobody's got their hand up. Somebody would like to make a comment or would like to share their thoughts on this. All you got to do is push one. And basically, I did cover everything that I had. I just sort of got everything, got jumbled up on me there. That's one of those other great things about being old where you have to use glasses to be able to see. And I print things out. And a lot of times, because I print in bigger font, then I got several pages and things get kind of messed up in what I was trying to put together. But I didn't want it to be my voice and my thought process alone. I wanted to have scripture that was there because that stands on its own merit. And I know that I could have picked just one or two verses from each thing to really hammer the point of what it was. But I wanted the people to go back and be able to hear this and hear the word of God as it was written and concept how it was written, to come up with their own concept of what their reality, of what their foundation is, that they're putting their trust and their hopes and their life into. We don't like to admit that we make mistakes. We don't like to admit that sometimes we don't know what we're supposed to do in every situation. And we don't like to admit that we can't do the things that we could when we were even younger in our flesh. We don't like to admit that, you know, I can't see things that I could see or pick up things that I used to pick up. And you know, you can lose your identity. You can put it into your job, your work, and even the things that you do for the kingdom and still not have that relationship with God. And I know at the end of that I kind of got it all jumbled up and probably mixed up a little bit. But to stop and think about, because it really does not make sense to think, okay, I did these things for God and I did it in his name, and then he said he never knew me. You know, it's kind of like trying to understand what happened with the person that touched the ark of the covenant and he was struck dead. And then when you go back and you look at all the things that were done wrong and all the things that were done in disobedience to the handling of the ark of the covenant, and then you can see where all of a sudden you go like, nope, that's it. This is no more. It's like trying to understand with Job. What is it with Job that it was such a great reward that he had to go through all the things that he went through? But in knowing God and the plans that he has for us, it was meant to be something that was positive for Job. And we don't like to think of it this way, but the things that God blesses us with are according to his purpose, not our purpose. And I can't wrap my brain around it. Maybe some of you guys can. But there again, if you want to tell Blog Talk Mom happy birthday, if you'd like to make a comment about the scriptures, about the thought process of what we were saying, all you got to do is push the number one on your phone and this little hand to come up. It don't matter where you're calling from. And when that comes up, I will identify you by the last four digits of your phone number and then place you on the air. I think Sister Casey was with us for probably the first 45 minutes, and then I think she had to leave. But I'm not real sure about that. Matter of fact, we had someone that just came back on the board here. Anyone want to see a hand? We have a winner. 6396, you're on the air.
Hey, Wild Bill.
Hey.
Hey, Sister.
We were talking
Wildy.
About you.
Hey, hey
you
there.
Are. happy birthday to you.
Oh, yes. I am happy, I tell you. This, to even hear my son go through these scriptures, and it's so beautiful, and the memories that flood my heart and mind about the Word of God. But y'all go ahead. I'm going to listen.
You're perfectly fine, of course. We love hearing you. You know that.
Oh, you're so wonderful.
And we love Wild Bill and, of course, Darla. We're so appreciate y'all.
And your family.
We appreciate you guys down there. The walk that you have. I told someone the other day, they were saying, man, I wish somebody would steal my cars. It's worth more with the insurance than what it's worth, all the things going wrong with it. And I said, I know a lady where you could park your car and that might could happen. that was probably not a very nice thing to say, was it?
No, that's okay.
But Sister Casey, with all the things that you do and all the work you do in ministry.
No, this is Sister Moog.
Yes, Sister
Moog. Oh, Sister Moog, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I promise.
I just got a phone number up here. I didn't see who it was. So I got so many people I reached out to in the great state of Mississippi.
I take that as a compliment, I promise.
Oh, and I had said that because she had texted me that she was on, so that's why he got her name that way. So go ahead.
It's perfectly okay.
So what did you think about our thought process tonight?
It was awesome. I appreciate the message. And, of course, our flesh, of course, it does tend to take over when, you know, we should just listen to the Lord.
Amen. That is good. So great. We want to help him. You know, we want to reach up like the that when Wild Bill brought that out, I had done something earlier in my life that wasn't evil or anything, but it was definitely presumption. I was going to try to help God do something that I knew was God's will. Well, I did, and it was one of the greatest pains of my life. And that's what God, he's not trying to
like be a control freak. He's trying to protect us from so many things that we get ourselves into, or I speak for myself, and he wants to protect us. And when we are humble, then he's there. I mean, he is the force, the power, you know, the presence. Whoa. Your baby, by the way, I got to say, was so precious. That was such
Thank you. All right. I'll finish the talk show. Happy birthday. Love you, Wild Bill.
Well, we appreciate you guys, too. I've got to get back down in that part of the country and get me some good catfish sometime pretty soon and go up here and be an aggravation to my sweet mom. And
of course, most definitely. We'd love to have you.
Well, thank you so much. Your pastor, I tell you what, everyone is always just so kind to me when we're down there. It almost feels like part of my family with any of the people that I'm around. And that was started when we first met Sister Holland. I still miss her today. The impact that she made on my life, the way she could just look you right in the eye, and she watched you while she spoke to you. But she was always polite. She always listened. But she had a way of just getting down to just the brass tacks of whatever it was you were talking about in a way like nobody else I've ever seen. And there was just something about her that just demanded respect for the walk that she had and the work that she had done in ministry. And I know all you guys miss her very well too. But Brother Smith, he has definitely, when the mantle was placed over on him, he has really done a fantastic job down there. You guys have a great and powerful work going on in the state of Mississippi.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Wonderful. We love y'all.
Love you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. It don't take much to get me confused as a Blog Talk Mom.
No, I did that because I did say it was Casey, and then I recognized her voice, but I didn't want to interrupt that. And so God worked it out. And they are wonderful. Just such a bright light in the church. And she and her husband and two daughters, they're just wonderful. Now, I think Sister Cheryl was was able to listen to 45 minutes, she said. And then I think maybe, Casey had texted me also that she was listening. But for a period of time there, when the phone was the tone was breaking out, they may have, that would have been about that time, I think. That's another reason I want you to do it again next week. I'm just so thrilled because I have a book here in my lap that I bought, a notebook, and I have filled it up with almost the same scriptures that you mentioned. And didn't have it, explained like you did, but it's God speaking to us, to the church, right now with everything you said. It is a prophetic, fulfillment of what the plan is for God and His creation. Keep our eyes on Him, follow Him, yield to Him. Don't be presumptuous. Be really humble. A very interesting thing happened. I heard of a couple, they're middle-aged about, and they're working in a church in Indiana. And when I heard about them, I wanted to be there. And, of course, I did a lot of that before I turned 84. And I said, now, Lord, I don't know if this is really what I should do, but I'm going to put a fleece before you. If you really want me to go down there, I will need a ride. And I asked two or three people, and it just wasn't going to work out. So today, I go to a thrift store. I go down there to get things to giveaways for our recovery class. And a lady sort of blocked my car as I was leaving, got out and came over, and she said, I would like for you and I to drive places. I want to drive you places. And I said, really? This is so funny. Anyway, well, the next part wasn't. Her husband passed away from cancer, and she said she had noticed me for a long time. places that she was, and she gave me her address, her phone number, and said she was a very good driver, and it, you know, we had a great fellowship. It was just wonderful. And I said, well, I guess I will be going. But anyway, that was neat. God hears, and if we're willing, he'll make a way where there is no way. So that's going back to you, Wildbill.
Well, no, you're fine, Blog Talk Mom. I just, so many times I see things that I try to understand, and I try to be a help, and then I try to stand in the gap for people where I think they're being bullied, and then I look at myself and I try to see how is it that we think we understand things that we really, truly cannot totally comprehend. You know, when we think, you know, well, I'm either living for God or, you know, I die out to him or I'm dead, and then we're trying to understand, well, my flesh is not dead. It's not an automatic. You know, there are some people that think, well, when you say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, then automatically you got the Holy Ghost without any of the evidence, without any of the signs, without any of the other things that were manifest in Scripture being part of it. And I don't want to be guilty because we have understanding of those things, of missing out on the other big pictures, on the things of God. Like what the Bible talks about, straight is the way that leads to, and narrow is the way that leads to salvation. And if you look at that, it is spelt straight like a waterway. And I was like, okay, we want to think of straight and narrow. And we paint a picture in our mind, it's straight and it's narrow. But really, if you look at the word straight as a waterway, and it's between two bodies of water, and you look at the actual what a straight is, and pictures of some of the large ones and some of them that are small, you see that the earth is coming together usually between two bodies of water. And where it comes in, if you don't stay right in the middle of that channel, there's rock that you can't see that's under the water. There's rocks that are protruding from the walls of where the ground comes down to meet the water. There's all these other obstacles there that you have to stay connected to some sort of navigational chart or navigational beam or beacon or something, satellite, to be able to make your way through there. And there are some places to where you can't go through until it's dredged out. And sometimes I think God wants us to understand it. Sometimes you got to wait on him, not because he's slow and not because, you know, things have to be, like you said, he's in control of everything, but he is watching now. Like you tell a kid something's hot and you slap her hand and say, no, that's hot. You're not doing that to be mean. You don't slow them down or put a stopgap there to keep them from going forward to be mean to them like you're talking about. You know, well, if I get away, I'll go, and if I don't get away, then I won't go. Even Paul, we were talking about this before, how do you preach the gospel of Jesus and all of a sudden there's people coming to kill you? And you're like, well, hey, I'm a prophet of God. I'm an apostle. You know, I'm the one that's supposed to be sharing all this to the Gentiles. I ain't got to run. God's going to protect me. And then you read to where they killed him pretty much. They stoned him to unto death, left him for dead. And I really believe he died and God brought him back. But, you know, there's people, there again, we don't know for sure. I just know that stoning, when you look at what that process was, they took big rocks and dropped it on your head with all their might and your body. And it wasn't a gentle thing where they laid it down on your head. To think that you could not have brain matter coming out and things being crushed, it's just, that doesn't make sense. And so then you read again, Paul, you got to flee for your life. They're going to kill you. And then what's he do? He's fleeing from his life, for his life. But then that puts him in another place to where he can preach to a new group of people, and he can share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the new birth plan of salvation experience. And then you see where, you know, he ends up with all the times he's shipwrecked and in prison and beaten. And you look at all these things and you think, did you ever think Paul had all the answers? And with the scriptures we read tonight shows that he did not have all the answers. He did understand that flesh had sin in it, that there was things of man, that those things were going to crop up. But there we have the choice. Are we going to turn it back to God under his grace, or are we going to just keep on sinning and let grace abound? And it doesn't work that way. And so we're not saying just go out there and do what you want to do and anything you think you're big and bad enough to do. What we're saying is be aware, because I have known people that have got mad and said something they shouldn't say. And someone come back and say, well, I thought you was a Christian. And from that one conversation, said to themselves, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, and they backslid. They said, if I can't do it like I'm supposed to do it, I'm not going to be a stumbling block to other people, I'm not going to do it at all. And that's why it's important that you get into the Word of God, and that's why it's important that you have faith in God, and that's why you got to let the Holy Ghost lead and guide you as you go through this process of life that we live, and that's why you have to endure to the end, because this is an endurance process of what we're going to have to do until the day that we die. This is always going to be a part of who we are, because we are all born and shaped in iniquity. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I think it goes beyond saying that I once was a sinner and now I don't sin anymore. I think we got to be honest and say, sometimes I sin and sometimes I repent and turn away, and let that people know that that's part of the process. It's not confusing if you start off from the get-go and you let people know you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. But I would rather fall into error or fall into sin than just to sit there and abide in it. I would rather not have thought process that leads me to sin instead of having something just come up because of the sinful nature that is inside of all of us. It's an amazing thing how the mind works. It's an amazing thing how God works. But when you get the two together, it's a process. It's not an automatic thing. And I may be totally wrong with what I shared there at the end about where he's talking about we. You know, we did this and we did that. He didn't say I did this and I did that. We did this. It makes you wonder if there's a little bit more to that picture. Block Talk Mom, you didn't make any comments on that. Am I just totally wet behind the ears with this? Is there a truth to this that's beyond what I'm seeing?
No, I think you've laid a tremendous foundation. Sister Carol texted me that she had to go, but she said, I want, well, she wished me a happy birthday, but she said that you preach a New Year's masterpiece. Now, here's one of the best teachers saying that about you that I know, so this is really a compliment. Of course, I'm your mom, and I think it was absolutely over the top, but you know how that is, because I love you so much. But I'm trying to calm down a little bit because I'm so thrilled about this whole thing. But you did cover a lot, and I lay a foundation like you did tonight. Next week, take the same and then just build on it, because you do have the New Year's message from God to us. I mean, we must go. We can't condone the mistakes and evil things that we allow to creep in. We cannot. But when we think we can do it on our own, or that grace is going to cover it without, you know, our total commitment to it, that's not going to work either. It's just like you were saying. And just please, because the phone was, you know, I don't know what that was, that caused some
devil
of it
was
to
mad.
Be. Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I was praying. I thought, I got the devil mad, and I'm glad. So, not glad that happened, but whatever. So, I have 60 pages of notes that I got in the last 4 days, I think, on this. I went to, when I was, I guess, 11 or 12, I was in Detroit, and I was in a horrible trauma type thing, horrible riot, and my mom, your grandma, sent me to St. Louis, and in St. Louis, it was a Christian school, and she let me work my way through. You do know my mom's way of looking at things, and because I was working, not really mixing with a little more, I guess, whatever the other little Christians were, and then my background, I really had a lot of issues that I had to work through, and I actually got expelled And while I was waiting for Mom and them to pick me up from Detroit to St. Louis where I was, they got a new, and I know it was the hand of God, but they got a new young preacher who was going to work in the school. And my schedule was rearranged, wasn't working. And he taught on just the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And God opened my understanding right there of what he wanted, the relationship with us. And we can't study it too much. It's deeper. And, you know, we used to sing that song, it's so wide you can't get around it, so high you can't get over it. You got to come in at the door. And he stands at the door and waits until we come in with him. It's a straight gate and it's a narrow way. And few there be that find it. But it ends in eternal joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It ends with things we can't even comprehend as far as glory and majesty and presence of God. And the other way might have a few glitters to it, but it's everlasting torment. And Jesus warned about it over and over. So I you can do this too many times for me, but whatever. We're going to pray that you get such a burden you'll have to preach again next week.
Well, I would not call what I was doing preaching and not much teaching. I was just doing a whole lot of reading of scripture because I wanted everybody to get their own thing. But the little lady just screamed at me. She said, there's 90 seconds left. Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything else you want? Anybody else? All you got to do is push one on your phone, and it is still continuing. Everything's working right tonight for a change other than where it's cutting in and out. I'm not sure what that was about, but if anyone has something up, another hand come up here. 0013, it's my lovely wife.
Hello, how are you?
Wow.
We are good.
Well, I just wanted to wish my wonderful mother-in-law happy, happy, happiest birthday, and I'm so glad you're still with us because you've had a very hard couple of years, and personally, I wasn't sure that you were going to make it through, but I am grateful to my living God that you are still with us because I love you so much, and I appreciate all you do and the walk that you have with the Lord, your testimony. You're an inspiration to me, and I so love you and appreciate you. And happy, happy, happy birthday.
I'm smiling, dear, and I better smile. This is wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh, that was certainly worth waiting on. I didn't know that. Y'all are so wonderful to me. You're just wonderful. And God has been, he's kept me going, you know, and I mostly go out, you know, help with recovery and don't really do anything but just refreshments. And, oh, I want to share this. In our recovery class a couple of weeks ago, we had probably, it was a lot of ladies there and some gentlemen. And just Casey gave them an opportunity to tell them to tell us just something quickly that was so wonderful about this Christmas. And because, you know, they're staying in the Vicky house and the new arrangements that we have as they come out of jail and different things. But every one of them, when they spoke, you could feel the power and presence of God. And everyone just, well, maybe not everyone, but I think most of them said it was the first year in their life that there was no drugs, no drinking, no that kind of fleshly garbage that we all, as Wild Bill brought out, we're all going to walk in it, or we're going to walk in the Spirit. There's only two roads. And it was, I'm telling you, it was just the presence, the love of God. He didn't come to condemn. He plainly said that. He convicts us because that conviction empowers us. That's the presence of the Holy Ghost. And it's just, God is such an awesome, wonderful, loving, powerful God, and he imparts that to us. So thank you again for the wonderful congratulations on my 84th year.
You know, Starla has a story she shared with me that kind of talks about this perception thing. She sent me this little thing that just clicked up on my screen about a woman saves herself with a small 22 caliber pistol from a 12-foot-long alligator that was attacking her. And so I think I know what it's all about, and I'm thinking, wow, that's something else. But Starla, tell how the story actually went.
Well, you'll have to hang on just a second.
All right. Because I was sitting here thinking that is a prime example of how you can think that you know the things of God, but and you can get maybe a spotlight of something in your mind, but then you can miss the whole story of what it is he's trying to tell you.
Okay.
Okay.
What?
Go ahead. You're good.
A woman stops a 12-foot alligator with a 22 pistol, and it's another reason to have a concealed weapons permit. This is a story of self-control and marksmanship by a brave, cool-headed woman with a small pistol against a fierce predator. Here's her story in her own words. While walking along the edge of the pond just outside my house in the villages, discussing a property settlement with my soon-to-be ex-husband and other divorce issues, we were surprised by a huge 12-foot alligator which suddenly emerged from the murky water. It began charging at us with its large jaws wide open, and she must have been protecting her nest because she was extremely aggressive. If I hadn't had my 22 caliber pistol with me, I wouldn't be here today. Just one shot to my estranged husband's kneecap was all it took. The gator got him easily, and I was able to escape by just walking away at a brisk pace. The amount I saved in lawyer's fees was incredible, and his life insurance was also a big bonus. I thought you would appreciate that. Perception.
Yeah. Well, you know that one, I think I said it was last week, but the man was going to rob this little lady as she was getting in the car, and she said, Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38. And he took off running. The police caught him. Said, why are you running from her? He said, she's got an axe in 2:38.
Oh, boy.
So sometimes a little knowledge and perception is a dangerous thing. So,
well, that's funny.
As usual, Starla, you are excellent in anything that you share or read on the show. It wouldn't be the same without you either.
Oh,
that's true.
I appreciate
that. Appreciate you.
She's been just totally exhausted with all the things, with trying to set things up for family. I started to print these scriptures out and give it to her to read, and I took a look at all the rest that she's been doing lately and how wore out she's been, and I just didn't have the heart to do it. So I thought,
that's perception.
Yeah.
No, that is understanding truth.
I tend to have two speeds. Go full speed or stop. I just go until I just can't go anymore.
I think that's your wisdom. That, from what I read in the Proverbs, it's wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And that was brought out really in some of the scriptures, and the flow that I'm getting from the Lord is we must get our focus on God's word, time with him, quiet, focused time with him, because there is so much that we don't know till it blows up. But if we're already prepared, God knows it. You know, he knows
everything. Amen.
This is such a good program. So I'll hush because it's getting on out there.
Yes, it is. Well, we want to thank everyone that called in tonight and again wish Blog Talk Mom a very, very, very happy and blessed birthday. And may this year be the best year you've ever had. And may you continue to win souls to the kingdom as you always have and be an inspiration to everyone else that you work with, mentor, and pray for. And we'll see you guys here next week at your place. So have a good night. God bless.